Have you ever known someone whose personality was larger than life? They are a rare find, and they're really special. They are magnets who just draw people in. It seems that the most random people are drawn to this person, and they repel only a few who can't handle the largesse of their personality. You know who I'm talking about. Well, my Uncle Jerry was one of those personalities. He had this loud, raspy voice and bright red hair to match his big personality. And he would drive my dad crazy because he would use my dad's vacation time as opportunities for free pulpit supply. So when my dad would go down to Arizona on vacation, my Uncle Jerry would welcome him with open arms and say, "All right, you're going to be preaching for me on Sunday." So without fail, my dad on his vacation would be preaching at my uncle's church. And so this pattern kind of trained my dad to carry a sermon in his back pocket so that when he was on vacation, he would preach for my Uncle Jerry. My Uncle Jerry was bold, and I truly think that he was unafraid of anyone and anything. Before coming up to California to visit us, I remember distinctly at least one time when he went to his local gas station and told the clerk, who usually did favors for him, to print off hundreds of tickets so that he could bring them up to California to invite people to church. And this clerk would do it for free. So my Uncle Jerry would get all manner of things, from tennis shoes to tickets for free. And these tickets he would bring up to California. Then he would hand them around town, inviting people to services services to the church that my dad pastored. I have this vivid memory of just moving to the Central Valley, and my Uncle Jerry was coming for a visit. I was a sophomore in high school, and I really wanted to seem cool. And I don't know why I wanted to, because that had never been the case in the past. But I really wanted to try to be cool. So my Uncle Jerry told my sister and me to come along with him because we were going to go downtown. So we thought that this was going to be a lot of fun. So of course we wanted to join him. He proceeded to hand us a stack of tickets and told us to hand these out around town. But we didn't want to do that. We wanted to have fun. So we, you know, grudgingly walked into this bakery where my uncle said, "Give these tickets to your 5 best-looking customers." And my sister and I walked outside, and he saw this really nice sports car, and he said, "Put the ticket in that sports car. They've got money. They should come to church." We were so embarrassed and perhaps equally amazed that he was completely unembarrassed. My Uncle Jerry was having fun. To this day, my Uncle Jerry was one of my dad's favorite people. He could make my dad madder than anyone, but he also could make him laugh harder than anyone. He was the embodiment of Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Perhaps my Uncle Jerry's number one gift was the gift of evangelism, but he was also a witness to the gospel. He was a witness to what he had seen and experienced, and he wanted everyone to know it, whether it was through a silly ticket or simply telling them about Jesus or praying for them. He was a witness to the gospel. And this is the word that Jesus calls his disciples in Luke. He calls them his witnesses. What he says here is he doesn't say that they might be witnesses or even that they will be witnesses, but that they are witnesses. In Luke 24, verse 48, Jesus says, "You are witnesses of these things." Let's back up a bit. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. He knew that his disciples didn't understand that he needed to suffer and to rise from the dead. He knew that his disciples would not be able to understand that he now had an immortal body. He knew that his disciples thought he was a ghost, So he invited them to touch and to see his wounds. He even invited them to give him something to eat so that they could see that he wasn't a ghost, because ghosts don't eat. He explained that everything written about him in Scripture must be fulfilled. And yet, after all this, his disciples still needed help to understand. Jesus was there in the flesh, and still his disciples couldn't comprehend that it was the risen Jesus. Verse 46 says that Jesus then opened their minds to understand the Scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." They did not understand until Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. They could not understand on their own. They needed Jesus to give them understanding. It's interesting that Luke goes to all of this effort to write the various ways that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, yet they couldn't understand him. He showed himself to them, he spoke to them, he invited them to touch his wounds, he ate in front of them, he spoke to them, he explained Scripture. But what would be the purpose of Luke bothering with this long list of evidences when they didn't do anything for the disciples? This list is for us. We can't see Jesus with our eyes or touch him in the flesh. We can't watch him eat or hear him audibly. But his disciples did. They saw, touched, watched, and heard him. And then Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And they were witnesses, and they wrote it down for us. Now, candidly, I think that the most difficult thing about our faith is that we believe in a God that we can't see. We can't touch him, see him, watch him, or hear him audibly. We are dependent on the witness of those who saw him. We are dependent on the witness of those who saw God's Son in the flesh. I mentioned this personal frustration with my pastor recently, and she assured me that I was in great company of others who desperately wanted to see God, from Moses to Thomas to Julian of Norwich to our forefathers and foremothers in the faith. They desperately wanted to see God. If we consider Thomas, we remember that he demanded to see Jesus and to touch his wounds. And what did Jesus do in response? He showed himself to Thomas and invited him to touch his wounds. In Luke 24, Jesus first showed himself to his disciples. When they couldn't believe that it was he or couldn't understand what his purpose was, Jesus then opened their minds. Since many of us know and believe the Jesus story, it seems really unbelievable that his disciples followed him for 3 years and still didn't believe him and didn't know what his purpose was. Even after 3 years of being intimately with him. But many of us now have had enough life experiences to understand that we too do the same thing. How often have you gone to memorial services and discovered that the person you knew and loved was so much more than you ever experienced? How often, after you've lost someone, have you realized that they were far more important to you than you ever recognized while they were living? How often have you had revelations about yourself years later? Like many of us, the disciples simply couldn't see. They simply couldn't understand. Their beloved friend was right in front of them, and they couldn't truly see him. So Jesus gave them the gift of opening their minds to understand. And then they saw and understood. They were witnesses to these things, and they were commissioned to share this good news with the world. Jesus then ascended into heaven, and the disciples would wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Today is Ascension Sunday. It's the day we celebrate Jesus' ascension into heaven. And the good news of Ascension Sunday is integrally tied to Pentecost. So I won't take away the fire from next Sunday, but this is so tied to Pentecost. Today we celebrate that Jesus is ascended and is with God the Father, which for us means that he's no longer visibly present to us. This is actually a hard thing for us, that Jesus has ascended. But we know in Scripture that Jesus is also present to us in the water of baptism, and he's present to us in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Today we recognize that Jesus' disciples witnessed his resurrected body, and because of Jesus' bodily resurrection, all who believe will be made right with God. All who believe are made right with God and will one day be resurrected in the body. Though you may not recognize it, you too are a witness. You have not witnessed Jesus in the flesh as his disciples did, but you have witnessed God. You have seen God's creation. You marvel that somehow the universe continues to be created and expand. You have watched plants grow and mature, and you had nothing to do with it. You've walked in hikes along the trails that you didn't create. You've watched waves come at you time and time again, and you didn't do anything to make them come to you. You have seen babies grow, and you knew that they were a combination of X and Y chromosomes, and they grew and multiplied outside of any of your intervention. You have experienced friendships and loves that you can't put into words. You have seen and heard beauty that has moved you to tears. You have seen animals that somehow knew how to care for you and to love you. These are all gifts from God. You are witnesses of these gifts. And perhaps you've witnessed even more. You have felt the presence of God in a profound way that it feels like your chest is about to burst, or that perhaps God's hand is on your shoulder like a comforting presence. You've seen a vision of God. You've been moved by God's Spirit in a way that you can't explain. You have a gift that you know is from God's Spirit. You can identify spiritual milestones in your life. You have been released from the bondage of addiction or hatred or hard-heartedness. You have seen miracles. You have seen racial reconciliation take place. You have seen a vision of the Spirit's work in the world. And perhaps you are wanting more. God continues to be at work, and you are a witness. You are a witness to these things. You have seen God's work in the world, and maybe you want to see even more. You want your eyes to be opened. And just like for the disciples, this is a gift. This sight is a gift. I encourage you to continue to pray for this, because this is something that God wants for you. He wants you to see him. He wants you to see his work in the world. And this is something that I'll also pray for you as well, that you will see God and his work in the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to earth, and that you sent him in a way that people could see him, that they could touch him, that they could watch him, and that even after his resurrection, his disciples and others saw him and touched him. Lord, I pray for those of us who are really struggling with faith because we can't see you, because Jesus is ascended. Give us faith. Open our eyes to see you, how you are active in the world, and we just haven't seen it. Give us ears to hear you, that we can still ourselves, that we can hear your still small voice. And Lord, give us mouths to proclaim your goodness, to be your witnesses to this world who desperately needs your hope. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.